Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to get this work session started. And with no more procedural fol-de-rol than that, I'm going to call on Commissioner Novick to start it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor and colleagues, it's a recall a few months ago when we were contemplating sending a fuel tax to the voters. We were puzzling over what to do about heavy trucks. Obviously, we could have simply applied the fuel tax to all diesel and all gasoline with no distinction among vehicles, but we were warned that the really big trucks that are engaged in interstate commerce could avoid the tax simply by skipping the one truck stop in Portland, the Jubitz truck stop. So I decided that we should instead think about doing what the state does, which is have a separate trucks that the heavy trucks, separate tax the heavy trucks pay. With the state, there's a weight mile tax. The trucks over 26,000 pounds are exempt from the regular fuel tax, but they pay a weight mile tax. Now, doing a local weight mile tax is something the city of Eugene has discussed and concluded that it would just be administratively infeasible. So we decided to take a look at other options to make sure that heavy trucks pay their fair share. Now, one of the questions is, what is their fair share? The state has adopted a cost responsibility methodology, and they estimate the fair share of the heavy trucks at a certain percentage. We have taken a look with the assistance of Carl Batten from Eco Northwest at how to apply that methodology to determine the fair share of heavy trucks in the context of the city as opposed to the state. So what you will hear from the team and then comments from other folks involved in our work group is a discussion of what the fair share might be and then a couple of different options for how we might extract that fair share from owners of heavy trucks. And with that, I will turn it over to Director Treat.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Commissioner Novick, for the background. As you mentioned, Oregon has a long history of ensuring that funding, the responsibilities for our roads and bridges are fairly distributed, and we need to make sure that's fairly distributed between light and heavy vehicles based on their use of the transportation system. So it's also important to note that the additional revenue that would be generated from this fee is very critical for us to address a long backlog of maintenance and safety issues. Over the last few months, PBOT staff has coordinated with a working group to better understand the issue and to bring forth specific recommendations for us to consider. And throughout the process, we have benefited from a very engaged freight community, and I would like to publicly acknowledge them and thank them for their cooperative spirit and participation in this process. And it appears that their good work is really helping us to create options that might be viable and work well in Portland. To hear more about it, I'd like to turn now to Mark Lear, Ken Lee, and Carl Batten to discuss the proposal in more detail.
Mark Lear, Portland Bureau of Transportation. I'm just going to walk through a couple of these slides, and I'll go pretty quickly since Commissioner Novick has talked through the first few. The first slide on page two is just a reminder that when City Council passed the resolution referring the temporary 10-cent local gas tax to the voters in May, they tasked PBOT with working with this committee to bring a recommendation back to City Council. On page three, the background that Commissioner Novick had just mentioned was we discovered early in this process of working with the freight community that there was going to be significant impacts to the one truck stop in the city of Portland, Jubitz, if we didn't come up with an alternative proposal. And so that's really what this work group has been tasked with. We've broken our task into four steps. The first step, which you're going to hear in just a second from Carl, is coming up with, if we thought about cost responsibility, something that Oregon has a proud history of distributing costs between light and heavy vehicles, we know what that sort of means from the state. And what we've asked Carl to do is come up with a percentage number that helps us think about what that share should be for a city. That's step one. Step two, we take the assumption of the amount of revenue that would be generated by lighter vehicles with a temporary 10-cent fuels tax and apply the percentage to that to figure out how much revenue we think would be fair for heavy trucks to generate with this proposal. In step three, we look at the specific funding mechanisms, and Ken Lee is going to walk through the two that we spent the most time working on with the committee. And finally, in step four, we look at how do we ensure that with this money that we're using it consistent with the other revenues that we're generating with and from the temporary local gas tax, as well as making sure that, you know, we have a good opportunity for the freight community and safety community to be involved in those conversations as well. So with that, I'll turn it over to Carl, and he can give you a little bit more background on cost responsibility from a city perspective.
Thank you. I'm Carl Batten with Echo Northwest. One of the things I do at Echo Northwest is for the state of Oregon, the highway cost allocation study that takes place every other year. It's required by the Oregon State Constitution since 1999, but the very first time a highway cost allocation study was done anywhere was in Oregon in 1937, and it was conducted by Condi McCulloch, the guy who designed all of the really cool bridges on the Oregon coast. So what the city staff asked me to do was look into the data that goes into the highway cost allocation model and see what it had to say about the share of heavy truck responsibility on local roads, particularly city-owned roads. It's not possible with the data we have to make it specific to the city of Portland, but we do have data on all city-owned roads taken together throughout the state, and that's what we looked at. So if you look statewide, heavy vehicles, those over 26,000 pounds that do not pay the fuel tax, are responsible for about 6% of the miles traveled.
Can I interrupt you just for a second, Carl? I think we have two packets. Okay. So there's a second packet that is just behind the first one that has the
it's orange.
One that's red on the orange. That's right. And these are the slides that Carl's walking through. Sorry, Carl.
All right. Of those heavy vehicle miles, a large proportion are on the freeways, because trucks prefer to travel on freeways where they can. If you look at rural interstates only, heavy trucks account for over 16% of the miles. But the opposite is true when you look at city-owned roads. On city-owned roads, the heavy trucks are responsible for only about 2% of the miles. And so within the city limits of Portland and other cities, the state-owned roads, the freeways, the state highways, and so on, are not part of the network that the city that the cities are responsible for funding.
And you're aggregating the city share based on city road network statewide?
Yes, across all cities. But then when one looks at the costs imposed per mile, the trucks have a much higher cost responsibility per mile for the vehicles that weigh less than 26,000 pounds, including all of the medium-sized trucks, such as the delivery trucks, the U-Haul trucks, the UPS trucks, and so on, that do pay the fuel tax, they average cost of 3.29 cents per mile. The vehicles over 26,000 pounds average a cost per mile of 24.45 cents per mile. So it's over seven times higher cost per mile for the heaviest trucks. And then if you put those numbers together, the heavy trucks travel about 148 million miles on city-owned roads at 24.45 cents per mile. So they impose about $36 million of costs to cities each year. Lighter vehicles travel about 7 billion miles on city-owned roads at 3.29 cents per mile, and they impose about $235 million in costs. So putting those together, we calculated that heavy vehicles are responsible for about 13.3% of the costs on city-owned roads.
Without doing a massive, meticulous project, you wouldn't be able to document this. But I think it's true that the number of roadways and the proportion of roadways in Portland that are arterial truck-carrying streets that are city streets is higher than statewide, in that the importance of Highway 97 in Madras is that it carries almost every trip, whereas 82nd Avenue and Barber Boulevard and I-5 don't carry every trip in report. They carry a lot of trips, but they don't carry every trip. But Sandy and Hawthorne and Cesar Chavez and lots of other streets that are city streets, the other cities of the state don't have as much of a city arterial network as Portland does. So we are probably automatically, if we aggregate city streets statewide, you take our percentage slice as a from that as a reflection of typical city costs, we are automatically undercounting the percentage. And again, it would require a giant exercise of roadway mile counting to ever prove that out. But just thinking about driving around the state, you know, if you're a coastal community, Highway 101 is carrying almost every trip. If you're a Central Oregon community, Highway 97 is carrying almost every trip, and so on. So that's fine. You know, we let that come out in the wash, but it probably deserves an asterisk.
Yeah.
Another asterisk you might want to keep in mind is that the way the Highway Cost Allocation Study counts costs is it looks at budgeted expenditures for the upcoming biennium. So to the extent that damages are not ever repaired, the costs imposed in the form of those unrepaired damages are never incorporated into the Highway Cost Allocation Study.
The real question is, have you started designing beautiful bridges in your spare time?
No, I haven't.
Great. If, any other questions about cost responsibility? If not, we can jump into step two.
Yeah, so Ken Lee, Portland Bureau of Transportation. I'll take you back to the other PowerPoint presentation on slide 7, where we'll start talking about step two, and that's how to calculate the heavy vehicle contribution in light of information in step one, and then the assumption of a 10-cent temporary fuels tax for lighter vehicles. So this is a pretty simple step because we know, based on the cost responsibility, that it's the heavy vehicle share is 13.3% based on that data. And if we apply that in the context of what we believe the 10-cent motor fuels tax will generate, which is about $16 million, the equivalent for the heavy vehicles proportionately for 13.3% is $2.5 million. And so in total, if you add the two together, it's, you know, $18.5 million, and the 13.3 represents 2.5 for heavy vehicles. And if you look at 4 years overall, it's $10 million overall from heavy vehicles. So that was step two. On to the next slide on page 8 is step three. So now that we know how much we're trying to generate from heavy vehicles, you know, we need to identify the funding option that best generates this cost-responsible share from the heavy vehicles. And working with the subcommittee, we've narrowed it down to two options. One is the diesel load fee, which I'll get into in a little bit here. And then the second one is the business license tax, for which is a heavy vehicle surcharge on the business license tax. Diesel load fee. So what is the diesel load fee? This is the first one that we looked at as far as a revenue mechanism. So it's a fee imposed on diesel loads transported by fuel trucks from Portland terminals to different regions in Oregon. And so the city of Portland, we actually have 9 terminals along the Willamette River that actually distributes petroleum fuel to all regions in Oregon, mostly the Northwest. We're specifically looking at the diesel portion of the petroleum. And so it gets a little bit, the scope of it becomes a little bit smaller than the overall petroleum load fee that the state currently imposes. Who pays this fee? The way it's set up, it'd be the companies that sell diesel from bulk facility terminals in Portland, or import diesel by cargo tank to storage tanks in Portland. And so for the purposes of what we're talking about, it's predominantly the terminals that we're looking at as far as the distribution of the diesel. And then one thing to note on the third bullet there on slide 9 is the fee will apply to diesel consumption across different industries. So while we're trying to raise it specifically from heavy vehicles, the diesel that gets pulled out of these terminals, they have different uses, and some of them actually go to fueling trains, they go to fuel off-highway equipment and construction equipment, go to farms and the like. And so We're kind of still looking at it in terms of how we can parse that out, but there is a little nuance there in terms of how we're applying this fee from a diesel load fee perspective. Our high-level rates that we're looking at, you know, is anywhere between 0.8 cents to 1.2 cents per gallon. And so if you kind of put it in context, you know, a fuel truck could average about 10,000 gallons when they go out to do a load at the terminal. This would equate to about $80 to $120 per load. Any questions on that one? Okay.
I just want to note that people might be puzzled at the idea that we might have a 0.8 to 1.2 cents per gallon tax on diesel when we're talking about a 10 cent per gallon tax on gas. And just to note that this tax would apply to the diesel fuel supply for the entire region, not just for Portland.
Not just for Portland. Right. Yes. So the second one on slide 10, the business license tax, heavy vehicle surcharge. Basically, it's a surcharge on businesses licensed in Portland that have registered vehicles subject to the state weight mile tax. So we did, with some help from the state and the revenue division, we've identified roughly at a first pass about 2,500 businesses that are licensed in Portland, representing about 80,000 vehicles subject to the weight mile tax. And the way this would work, the way we're looking at it right now, it would be a surcharge, and it can be grouped in a couple different ways. One is into fee categories in terms of number of vehicles per business. Basically, the idea is the more vehicles you have, the more you pay in the surcharge, the less vehicles you have, you pay less. Another way the subcommittee has been discussing this is in terms of a percentage against your net income, very similar to how the business license tax works. Right now, the business license tax is 2.2%, and so there will be another surcharge based on some of the further analysis that we got to do to come up with what that surcharge rate would be. And we'll also be looking at a combination of net income and number of vehicles per business to see what if there's any kind of trends that kind of make sense for us to apply. Okay, and slide 11. This is kind of how we're evaluating the two mechanisms itself. Basically, we have four feasibility factors: fairness of who pays. In this particular one, we're looking at kind of geographic fairness. And the reason why the diesel load fee is a medium is because the revenue generated isn't necessarily all coming from the city of Portland, because some of this diesel will be transported to other regions outside of Portland, and that's where the revenue would be raised. So is it, you know, as far as where is, you know, is the folks that are using our street network the actual ones that are paying for it? And so relative to the business license tax, the business license tax has a much cleaner, nicer nexus to the fairness of who pays. We looked at the revenue generated. Is it sufficient?
But it's not, because that's only the businesses that are registered in Portland, and there's a lot more trucks that use Portland's roads than are registered in Portland.
Right. So if those businesses are actually doing that are registered outside of Portland, are doing business in Portland, they should have a city business license tax, and they should be paying for the revenue that they're generating.
Even the ones that are just driving through?
If they're just driving through, typically they're on the state highways. They're not even on the city network. And so from that perspective, yeah, they wouldn't require a city
license. So if they're making a delivery in Portland, they have to have a business license tax?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just to add to that, I think that was, I think many people on the committee, including me, were surprised by that, but it definitely helps with this mechanism that we have that ability to be making that connection.
Yeah. Administration cost. Right now we have it categorized as kind of a high medium, meaning yes, it's going to be low cost. The more criteria we add to the actual mechanisms itself could flip this to a yellow and make it more of kind of a medium in terms of administrative costs. But we think it's still, even if it's medium, it's still at a manageable state as far as administration goes for both the payer and the payee. The tie to the use of the streets, this one we think there's a better nexus. In this particular case, I mentioned earlier, the diesel consumption of what's being pulled from the terminals from a diesel load fee perspective could be used for off-road equipment, could be used for trains, could be used for home heating oil and the like. And so it's not necessarily have a direct tie, whereas the business license tax is actually being assessed to those businesses that have heavy vehicles registered for weight mile. And so generally the takeaway from this, this table here is basically, you know, they're relatively close in terms of, you know, in terms of the feasibility. It just looks like at this point the subcommittee is looking at this. They think that the business license tax surcharge is a little bit more feasible relative to the diesel load fee, but we both think they're, you know, pretty close though, but it looks like it's kind of leaning towards the business license tax surcharge. Any questions on that? Okay, I think we'll turn to Mark Lear for step four.
Great. So on step four, we start to talk about how...
Run the program, ensure transparency, accountability, and effective use of resources. The general sense here is that we would allocate these revenues consistent with how we've allocated the revenues from the 10-cent local gas tax, 56% for maintenance, 44% for safety. But that we're really trying to, especially in this conversation with the freight community, make sure that when we're doing our paving work, and I'll show you a map in just a second, that we're identifying those highest priority paving projects that really benefit freight. In addition to that, what we really want wherever possible, because we hear a lot from the community that those streets that are really important to freight are also some of the streets that the community has the most concerns about from a traffic safety perspective. So if at all possible, we'd like to marry those, you know, include those safety elements with the paving projects in a really efficient way. We've also heard a lot from the freight community that if at all possible, if we could leverage any of this money with other grants or system development charge revenue, that that's something that they're interested in as well. So our idea would be, I think at this point, that we would use the same oversight committee that we have for the temporary local gas tax, if that were to move forward, the same reporting requirements, but that we do a more intensive job of really reaching out to the freight committee to make sure that the projects that we're picking, you know, have lots of support and are providing the most benefit that they can. I think right now, too, and Commissioner may want to speak more about this, but our sense is that the length of the program would be consistent with the length of the temporary gas tax.
I would suggest that. However, I would say that my intent is to make sure that we ask the heavy trucks to pay their fair share regardless of what happens at the gas tax on the ballot. So I'm not saying that we should only implement this if we pass the gas tax.
So are fire trucks registered as a business?
Public vehicles don't pay weight mile either.
They don't pay weight mile either.
No. Even though there's a picture of a fire truck in the car.
That was what triggered it. And I'm assuming with this, because we would be administering it, that we would take the administrative costs off the top before we got to the 44-56 allocation, so that if revenue needed additional people to administer it, that would come off the top. It's
right.
Not going to be a cost to the general fund.
Yeah.
These guys warned me that the fire truck picture was going to result in those kinds of questions. They were right. It is a good question, yeah.
By the way, I just want to interrupt to give hats off to the Revenue Bureau, because we were looking at the load fee, and it was actually Scott Carter, Revenue, who volunteered. Well, we have all this information about the businesses in Portland that have trucks that are paying the weight mile tax, and that might be a good point of departure. So hats off to Scott.
So on page 13, I think there's in your packet, you'll see a blow up of North Portland and some of the key freight routes that have been identified by our payment management group as high priorities for preventive pavement maintenance. And these would be the kind of projects that we would be working with the freight community and with our oversight committee to figure out what the best advantage, what best projects to move forward. You can also see one example. There's a little red line kind of by the airport, which is Northeast Cornfoot. And that's an example of where we have some other funding for projects that right now there's sort of this gap between these two improvements, and the freight community said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we were to move forward with something like this where we could actually do some of the paving work between those two big projects funded from other sources.
So do you have other maps that are not north-northeast?
We do. We can provide you with, I think we have 71 miles of streets that were identified as good candidates that are on our freight route that are across the whole city. We can definitely follow up with that. So on page 14 and 15, Ken and I tried to give you a summary of some of the feedback that we're hearing from the work group. We're about to hear from a couple members of the work group as well, but since we've been working with that group for a couple months, we thought we'd summarize those The first one is that there's a strong sense, like there was with the temporary gas tax, that any new revenue should be dedicated to transportation. That should be clear in the ordinance or resolution that moves this forward. Second item that was
specifically to transportation maintenance and safety, right?
Exactly. Good point. In addition to that, there is a desire that from the committee, anyway, and you heard Commissioner talk about his perspective on it, but from the committee at least, there was this interest that the local temporary gas tax and the heavy vehicle component be tied together. A lot of interest in transparency around the process of identifying projects. I think it was interesting from the group that they weren't saying, give us the specific projects today. They liked a little bit of flexibility in that, but they definitely wanted a transparent process. In addition to that, there's a lot of interest in making sure that that we minimize the amount of evasion. So I think the committee was really excited to hear, like we just talked about, that people that are delivering goods into the city of Portland are required to have a business license, and that allows us to minimize some of the evasion that might otherwise be there. And one of the reasons I think they like this to a degree over the diesel load fee as well.
So this is a question for the Revenue Bureau, but do we have any sense of how compliant businesses who are just making deliveries are with getting business license taxes?
We haven't done an actual study of that right now, but one of the things that we can do is, if we go forward with that, we're going to use the information from the State of Oregon and the White Mile Tax to do a comparison and make some assumptions, and then if we see some that aren't compliant, then we're going to let them know about this and go after them that way. Okay?
You're welcome.
Sorry. Sorry.
I guess
I'll sit. It's like a trap.
Probably not.
Let's see. So on page 15, there are a couple more recommendations, feedback from the group. Again, and I think this is really positive, but there's a lot of interest from our freight committee as well as this heavy vehicle work group of finding a longer-term solution at the state level. Like Ken was saying, it does appear that there's a preference for the business license tax surcharge over the diesel load fee. Again, nobody's jumping up and down saying we want to pay more taxes, but there does appear to be, you know, a preference in that direction. And then there's I think the main thing that you heard Ken talk about, there's just a lot, there's that fire truck. Exactly. That one's not my fault. And then finally, there's this is really what the group's working on right now, but a request that we really work out the details of how this BLT surcharge would work. There's issues out there, for example, of, you know, some businesses that are generating a lot of revenue. Jubitz, again, might be a good example of that, but don't have that many trucks. So figuring out, again, as we start to work through this, you know, what are different businesses paying and what's fair as we look at this is what the group's really asked us to dig into. And that's probably a good segue into the last slide, which is as far as next steps. The work group is going to have another meeting next week to dig into even more detail with some additional specific revenue proposals from the revenue office. And our recommendation, our goal then is to bring back a final recommendation back to this group.
My intended timing is as soon as possible. I don't want to speculate now as to how soon that might be, but I hope pretty darn soon.
Are there any heavy vehicles that don't use diesel?
From what we've researched, yeah, there are other vehicles that don't use diesel. Some of them use propane, and some of them, there are some hybrids out there that have a lower reliance on diesel as well.
But there aren't any that run on regular gas?
So for heavy vehicles, I'm not sure.
But
so nobody's going to be paying twice, is my question.
Right, and if they were paying weight mile, they'd be exempt from the fuels tax anyways.
From the gas.
Or from the gas tax.
Yes, we do. We have three working group members. First of all, the most alliterative man in Portland, Corky Collier of the Columbia Carter Association. Also, Janet Jarvis from the Oregon Trucking Association. And that renowned energy economist and thoroughly engaged public citizen, Robert McCullough.
Afternoon. Corky Collier with Columbia Corridor Association. I've got testimony here, but I'm not going to read that. We don't need that. First of all, really, thanks, many thanks to Commissioner Novick for considering the Jubitz problem, you know, the idea of we just did a simple gas tax on heavy diesel vehicles, that would have really impacted Jubitz negatively, and the trucks would have easily avoided it. It's really a shame. It just would have been a lose-lose. Now, the problem with not using that simple gas tax is all the other solutions are a bit messier. So the diesel load fee, for example, interesting idea. It has some advantages, but the more we talked about it, the worse it seemed to get. You know, it never really settled with anybody as a very good solution. One of my problems I had with it is the appropriateness of charging a fee that's going to be paid by businesses all across the state for Portland streets. While we can justify that and make sense out of it, I really fear that there's going to be a backlash on the state level for that. And so next year when we go to the state legislature for another transportation package, that may come back to bite us. And so I'm really worried about that. If we want the rest of the state to care about us, we have to care about the rest of the state. So, you know, we got off to a good start trying to find minimal funding that has minimal consequences. Admittedly, that's kind of a low bar, but even that was a little hard to step over. You know? You know, a lot of us have been advocating a weight mile tax for cars, a VMT. Well, the freight industry has been doing that for a long time with the weight mile fee. It's a really, really good fee. And if we could have figured out a way to apply that in the short term for our needs right now, I think that's the way to go. But we simply couldn't come up with that. So the next best alternative is probably the business license tax, the surcharge on that. There are three caveats I'll throw out there. Some of them have already been covered. One is that we want to make sure that it mirrors the gas tax, that it has the same sunset, it's contingent upon the gas tax being approved by voters, and that those funds go to the list that PBOT has of maintenance and safety projects, not to the general fund. There's also concern that the BLT would then just be piled on with new fees. In other words, everybody would say, oh, look, we can get more funding from that. Obviously, we want to be cautious about how we approach that. And lastly, we really want to make sure that we all actively lobby for a state gas tax or a state transportation package next year. The problem is there. Everything we do here, if we succeed on raising all this funding, we're still woefully short. And every dollar in deferred maintenance is $10 more expense down the road. We've got to get our hands around that, so please help us with the state gas tax next year. And on that happy note, thanks.
There was a bit of surprise when someone from the neighborhood showed up on the committee, but without enormous violence. We have a lot of issues in common. First is simply to get things fixed. Getting the gas tax passed is enhanced if everyone's skin in the game. Having freight in the game is going to help us. We looked over the studies. The studies are fine. There's always room for debate. I offered to debate them. No one seemed to want to take that on, so we're fairly happy with the work that's been done. You raised the question of city versus state responsibility on highways. Yes, obviously that's an issue. The Brooklyn Yard uses half state roads and half city roads. Okay, here's our problem in a nutshell. It's a data problem. We don't have a lot of data. Pursuing the perfect often is not an effective answer. The perfect is the enemy of the possible. It's important for us to actually get something that works. We've got two data sets that work. We know where the vehicles are registered, and we know who pays the Portland business tax. Commissioner, you noted it's not perfect. It is not perfect. But I think I was at a work session a week or two ago where we talked about what we were doing to fix that. And we're going to be much better next year than we are this year because we have more tools to catch folks who aren't paying. Bottom line on the BLT, I love the bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Bottom line on it is We know where the people are. We know what the money is. We can actually collect it. There is an issue about how we scale it. That's going to be a debate. I think we'll have that debate next week. We may have some different points of view than they do. I took this to the Southeast board Monday night. Believe it or not, I had unanimous support. Now, the odds against that are much greater than the arts tax being coming through without argument. So believe me, this was quite an achievement. So at the risk of losing my reputation as being a pain in the ass, I think Stephen and staff have done a good job.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Oh, sorry. I have to push the button. There you go. I'm Jana Jarvis. I'm president of the Oregon Trucking Association, and I'm pleased to be before you today. I think you've heard over and over that our first point of concern is many others' first point of concern, and that is the impact of what you're doing here in the city of Portland on our ability to get a transportation package passed in 2017. And I can tell you that quite sincerely, since I spend a lot of my time down in Salem. I'm engaged in all of those conversations, and I'm hearing already, it's only April, what a heavy lift it's going to be to get a package like that. So I think you need to put that into your equation when you consider what you're doing going forward. I think secondly, I want you all to understand that the Trucking Association is committed to paying our fair share for the state systems of roads. I didn't know this. I've been with the association just this past year, but in 1999, the trucking industry encouraged the legislature to refer a constitutional amendment to voters that requires the legislature to provide equity between cars and trucks. And so every 2 years, this referral passed overwhelmingly, and every 2 years that's evaluated. That's that cost allocation study that you heard talked about. And I think it's that, thirdly, it's that fair share principle that drives the trucking industry's evaluation of any and all proposed tax plans, including those designed to provide additional revenue for transportation. So I need to let you know, first and foremost, that we don't believe that the load fee proposal is fair, as there's almost no nexus between the taxes paid and the operation of heavy vehicles on Portland streets. Most of that fuel moves outside the city of Portland. We think the business license tax surcharge has a degree more fairness, but it still has its problems. And so let me explain to you why I think that's the case. Our first line of evaluation is determine fairness in equity between cars and trucks. At the state level, equity between cars and trucks is determined through the cost allocation study. And by the way, Oregon has done more cost allocation studies than any other state in the nation, and even more than at the federal level. The system is mature, does a reasonable job of allocating road costs between cars and trucks. And you heard Echo Northwest up here, they've been doing that cost allocation study for the last 20 years. And you heard the numbers that assuming that Portland passes the 10-cent gas tax, that an equitable amount of funds to raise from the heavy truck industry would be $2.5 million. So that's the exact amount that should be paid for. But the point is, if the gas tax proposal fails at the ballot box, then any attempt to obtain additional revenue from the heavy truck industry should be scrapped, if in the interest of equity.
Ms. Jarvis, I have to ask you, does your organization plan to campaign against the gas tax?
Yes, we do.
So if we went along with your suggestion that you just made, we'd be giving you an extra incentive to campaign hard against the gas tax.
The point, Commissioner, goes back to my point number one, and that is we have been engaged. We're heavily engaged in 2015 in the transportation package discussions. We've had conversations with leadership here in the state, and a lot of those conversations are focused on local gas tax issues, and what's happening in Portland will guide much of that discussion.
Even though numerous other cities have local gas taxes or street fees, and somehow the existence of those is not making it possible to pass anything at the state level.
You have a local gas tax as well. Portland has a local gas tax. Well, Lumen County does, yes. But you receive those revenues from there. So,
did this process consider all the good options as far as you're concerned?
Well, I've got a couple more
points.
Okay. I think the second line of fairness is equity in the trucking industry itself. So the business license tax surcharge has some issues there. The proposal that we looked at
in calculating this surcharge was based on the number of trucks or as a percentage of the base business license tax. And we believe that using the number of trucks is far less accurate. So I just wanted to get that on the record in terms of how you want to calculate. And therefore, far less, there's less equity there than the percentage methods. But we have the concern about the level of evasion of the business license tax within the trucking industry. You heard conversations here earlier about if you deliver in Portland, you're subject to the business license tax. I can tell you that not all trucking companies that deliver in Portland, and many of them are not my members, and many of them are not based in Oregon, they don't know that. And so there are deliveries that happen in this city that are not currently subject to that. So that would have to be an issue that you would have to address, I think, if the surcharge proposal moves forward. But I think there's another issue, and probably one of the biggest issues that you need to consider, and that is the business license tax surcharge does a fairly good job of taxing trucking companies from their taxable revenue. So trucking companies that are doing business in Portland can define the revenue that they have here in the city of Portland. But the companies such as Cisco, that are really a food services company, although they have a lot of heavy trucks, and if you look at the streets in Portland, you'll notice that a lot of the big vehicles running around here are Cisco trucks. If you were to put a business license tax surcharge on them, you would have to find a way to calculate that based on their trucking costs or what, you know, not on their total revenue, because their total revenue is derived outside of the trucking industry. So the issue you're going to have is with private fleets. So you need to consider that. And I think you've also heard some conversation about the freight committee would wanting to be involved in helping to define what kind of projects that you would engage with. We've had a lot of concern over where some of the transportation funds have been allocated, and we would want to continue to sit at the table and have that conversation with you. So thank you.
So back to my question, were there any other mechanisms besides the ones that we looked at here of either a load fee or a business license surcharge that you think we should look at or should have looked at so far in this process, you know, on the assumption that we need to do something?
Well, there were conversations about can you apply the weight mile tax, but you can't because you don't have points of entry into the city.
Right.
Most of the record keeping that trucking companies do doesn't go necessarily to the mile, so you don't have a point of destination. There are you know, in years in the future, there will be more electronic logs of transportation deliveries, and it might be easier at that point in time to define road uses in Portland. But right now, if you've got a truck going on I-5 through Portland, it'll look like it's in Portland, but it's not on a city street.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have a good answer for
you. Yeah. So in other words, if revenue is the art of the possible, these may be the choices we have.
I understand.
And I guess sometimes we hear from the business community these concerns about imperfection of tax mechanisms. And I guess I don't want to be completely cavalier about that, but I don't think there is any such thing. My youngest child is 29, getting married in New York City this summer, but I'm still paying school taxes. I'm paying for the renovation of the high schools in Portland. Comes out in the wash. I'm a citizen here. You know, we try to make these tax mechanisms as fair and as equitable as possible, but they will never be perfect.
Well, I understand that, Mr. Mayor, but I would want to encourage you to encourage your staff to engage with us and with others in the business community to help get a transportation package
passed. Oh, no question.
This next
no
year.
Question. You'll have our help there.
And you were noticeably not front and center on that conversation this last go round. So
wait a minute. We've made this a top legislative priority.
That's
we were
great.
Told by the leadership of the legislature that it wasn't going to happen in the 2016 session. So that's why the only reason we were absent is we were told to stay home by the governor and the Speaker of the House. So this transportation commissioner and this mayor have been loud about this issue since anyone started listening to us. And in fact, the city of Portland has been loud about that issue for a long time. So we are on record and passionate about increasing both the state and the federal gas tax. And I've made that speech hundreds of times since I'd become mayor.
Well, I'm happy to help you on that.
Same here.
Ms. Jarvis, just to be clear, my understanding of what you're saying is that you would oppose any local transportation funding mechanism that applied to trucks, no matter how fair it was. Is that correct?
Would you repeat your question?
My understanding from what you said is you are going to oppose any local transportation tax that applies to trucks, no matter how fair it is. No matter what we came up with, even if you agreed it was totally fair, you believe the fair share of the local tax is zero, and that's what you would argue for.
I don't believe that's what I've said today here.
Well, I thought you started by saying that you don't think we should do anything locally because you think that it might interfere with the statewide efforts. So I assume that anything we came up with, you would oppose.
That's a short-term statement. We're having a conversation here in this point of time, and I'm suggesting to you that it would be more profitable to help work on a transportation package for this next year, because I have been told repeatedly that as these gas tax issues pop up around the state, it takes the wind out of the sails for the state legislature to address this issue.
Well, I've talked to legislators a lot. I haven't heard any of them say that. And my assumption is that if a local gas tax fails in Portland, legislators around the state will have cold feet about voting for a gas tax, and the odds of that passing will go down dramatically.
Some of us, I don't know how long you've been involved in these issues. I've been involved in these issues for 25 years.
So have I.
I don't think you can look at that 25-year time period and with a straight face say there is any realistic possibility that the legislature will pass a bill with sufficient local share revenues to make a dent in our road maintenance and safety problem in Portland. We might get some help if they really screw up their courage and really take a deep breath and pass a 10-cent gas tax increase statewide. We're still, the local portion of that is still a dribble compared to what we need. If the Congress, after, what has it been now, 27 years? I'm losing track. The 1990s finally screws up their courage and passes a 10-cent federal gas tax that's indexed to inflation. We're still way behind. And I don't think any of us would make the argument that those two things are going to happen in our lifetime. So we got to get real here. We got to raise local revenues because they don't have the political courage in either Washington or Salem to do enough. They might have the political courage in Salem to do a little. That's a reasonable bet. And if we all work together, we might help them have the courage to vote for 5 or 6 or 7 cents. I really wouldn't bet on them ever getting to 10. But they might get to 5 or 6 or 7%, if 7 cents, if the whole business community and all of local government and everybody else lobbies them really hard. But they're not going to solve our problem. That's the only reality there is. Anything else is fantasy.
Can I address a cost issue?
Sorry, go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think if you want to show good faith, it would be probably helpful to see the city council put some general fund revenue into some of these projects. Now,
$29 million in the last budget, and we were also asked by this governor and the legislature not to proceed with the street fee 2 years ago because they were going to pass a transportation package in 2015. What happened? They didn't do it. So please don't imply that this city has been anything less than resolute and that the legislature has been anything less than dilatory on this issue. The legislature has been dilatory on this issue. They've done nothing for a long time. And I really hope that someday soon, with all of us pushing them hard, but to imply that somebody finally doing something at the local level is the problem here is really picking the wrong target. The problem is the lack of political courage in Washington, D.C. and Salem to step up to infrastructure funding. And we've had that courage, gotten beaten up for it, and now we're finally doing something.
The problem about what's feasible is it's not going to be perfect. But if what we hear is that only light vehicles pay the tax, our response is going to be to redo the Econ Northwest study for the road use here in Portland. And you'll like that result far less. It's not as if it's a situation where someone can just opt out. We're all using the same roads. We all have the same problems. The simple fact is, if I put one of my economists on that Econ Northwest study and adjusted it for the difference in Portland, the numbers you'd see would be much higher. I haven't done that, because it's important for us to get done. And I can't get the gas tax done if the politics of it says that only the light vehicles pay. So I need your participation to get anywhere. And before that, yes, we will go scramble in the mud. And as you know, I've been known to do that in the past, to get to the right answer. And the right answer is to get the damn potholes filled.
Would a statewide gas tax apply to diesel as well?
Yes, it would. We'd have to adjust the valuation in the weight mile tax. So absolutely, yes.
So, wait, you would, I'm just learning about all this. So it would then be adjusted so they'd be paying less weight mile?
More. So they typically, when they adopt a state gas tax increase, they proportionally raise the weight mile.
Rather than having it at the pump?
No.
Right.
But the weight mile system there. So.
Yeah, they don't pay a fee per gallon. They pay on the usage of the Oregon's roads. So that's what the weight mile tax is based on.
So potentially, since this is to get to fairness, there could be a consideration of a sunset if something passes in Salem that then provides more revenue to compensate so that we...
I would encourage you to think like that, yes.
But Commissioner, as the mayor just said, there's no possibility that the Salem is going to pass anything that solves all our problems, and I don't think that we would say that if the gas tax passes, we will reduce that to reflect anything that happens in Salem. So I don't think that we'd want to extend a benefit to the heavy trucks that I don't think we would extend to our own citizens driving regular cars.
We do want to provide an incentive to passing as much of a gas tax with associated weight mile as possible at the state level, though.
So we're so far behind. That was the point I tried to raise earlier. Leah may have to help me with the number, but I believe that the state legislature would have to raise the gas tax by 40 cents and the weight mile fee by the same proportion in order to make us whole through state revenue sharing alone for what we've already committed to do in local funding measures. 40 cents. And I don't believe you'd support that. More than 40 cents. I'm talking about just to make up for this, the local gas tax plus this, but I may be low. Okay, so maybe 50 cents, 60 cents, a dollar. You know, the legislature would have to increase the gas tax by something like a dollar in order to have enough flowing down through the formula for all these local communities to meet their needs, to pave the roads that your trucks run on. And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in my political career, and it's not going to happen in anybody else's political career.
If I may put a little historical context on it as well. Oregon was the first state to initiate a gas tax. It's a pretty good idea at the time, and it worked very well for a long time. And up until about the 1970s, that state gas tax pretty much kept up with inflation in fits and starts, as you can imagine. But then since about the 1970s, it's really lost a lot of its buying power. So right now, we would essentially have to double our state and local combined, you know, the gas tax collected by the state, would have to basically double from what it is now, another 35 cents or so, something like that. So in order just simply to keep up with inflation relative to where we were when we started the gas tax. So you're right, we're not going to get there anytime soon. But also I'm glad to hear you interested in the weight mile fee, because it's a fantastic way to apportion funding for our streets. It really is, and that's why we're moving toward a VMT for cars as well.
I think we need to look at the whole package, and maybe reliance on any kinds of gas taxes isn't the right way to go, given we're going to have more and more electric vehicles and other, and that should be part of the package next year, right? I certainly feel like everybody should pay their fair share of the road maintenance, and that's something that should be high on the list, and that would be additional revenue beyond what we're getting now. So, and that should be set appropriately in relation to how... Well, my son could maybe put a deposit down for one of the cheap ones in 2 years, so I'm going to work my way up to it. And at that point, I'm going to be saving all kinds of money on gas, so it would seem fair to put some of that, a good chunk of that, into a street fee of some kind. I think we need to look at how can we work together to solve the problem that faces all of us, and it faces the truckers as much as the people on the sidewalks or lack thereof, and everybody in between.
I would just want to leave you with one other thought, and that is we want to pay our fair share, and I'm not suggesting otherwise to any of you, but at the end of the day, you need to consider that heavy vehicles are not proportionately on Portland city streets nearly as much. Mostly they're going through Portland.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that the level of funding, the way it's been apportioned based on even the state methodology, it's $16 million from the gas tax and $2 million from this. And intuitively, you think of the big buses and the other fire trucks and other things using the public streets and being heavier than a bike or a small light car. So that was good information to me to know that, in fact, the proportionate amount isn't as much as I thought it was.
And buses are a whole other category because they do have so much weight per axle. They do more damage, and there's a lot of miles driven on local streets. But as I understand it, they're exempt from any taxes.
Peter to pay Paul problem. Commissioner Novick has been vocal on the subject of TriMet should be specifying different buses, and he's right, because that would reduce wear and tear. So that's another opportunity to reduce cost over time. So. Well, Commissioner Novick and folks, I think a lot of good work has gone into this. I just appreciate you ventilating this for us now, and I guess the next step is you're going to be bringing something officially to council here, obviously, pretty soon, and can't wait to see it.
Thank you very much, Mayor and colleagues, and thanks to the work group and everybody who's here today.
Thank you.